One more song before we have the message this morning. There is a Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One.
Thank you, O my Father.
Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit's help. The work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain.
Thank you, oh, my Father.
There is a Redeemer. And as we go to the Word this morning, Hebrews chapter 11, as we continue our focus on this chapter together, the chapter of faith, as we've been looking at the Hall of Fame of the Faithful, today we come to verse 7. Let's hear the Word of the Lord together. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for the privilege of worshiping together and for the deepness of our faith. And Lord, I pray that you would deepen our faith as we've been learning through your word together what living by faith is all about. Lord, as we look again into your word, into a story of one that we know very well, we pray that through it, Lord, you again speak to us, to deepen our faith, to challenge us in how we can live by faith in our time and in our day. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. It is no doubt that it's very obvious that we are living in very challenging and uncertain times. With dealing with the COVID that we've had to deal with the last months, the unrest within our country, the decay and moral decay that seems to be going on when we just see what's going on around us. It's no doubt it's very difficult and uncertain times. Wouldn't you agree? And it calls for living by faith. And the question is, how do we live by faith in times like these? Everyone here would admit, and I imagine if I ask you to raise your hand, you'd raise your hand and say, yeah, these are definitely difficult days, are they not? And they're bad. But if we think it was difficult now, imagine what it was like having faith, living in the time of Noah. Just to get again the description of what it was like in those days, I'm going to read it, but turn to Genesis chapter 6, where we have the account of Noah's story. But the description, verse 5. This was the time of Noah. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. The Bible describes that in the time when Noah lived, every inclination of all mankind, except for Noah, was full of evil. Didn't do anything good. And God was so grieved as he looked down on earth that it even had created us, mankind, because it had become so, the whole world had become corrupt. And out of the whole world, there was one man who found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So yes, it may be difficult days, but there's more than one, right, who lives for the Lord today. We have us. We have others who believe in the Lord, who are seeking to follow and live by faith. But how can we learn from Noah how to live by faith in challenging times? As we look at this story in more detail, we'll discover some principles together. But the story of Noah is familiar to all of us. And several of us had the privilege of going to Kentucky to see the ark. And it's hard to imagine the size of it until you actually go and see the reconstruction of the ark that had been built, to put you in perspective, really, what Noah endured, and really the size of the ark or the boat that the Lord had instructed Noah to build. 450 feet long, 45 feet high, and 75 feet wide. That's wider than football field and a half. That kind, if you haven't been there, that gives you a picture of the height of this, of what Noah's ark was like. And just to put it in perspective, there's people standing underneath of it. So you can see the size of the ark compared to people. Those of us that have been there, reminds us. But as we look at the story today, we're going to discover several principles of how you and I can live for faith and in our time. And let's look at the story that we know. We know the story from Sunday school growing up. And sometimes when we see the familiar parts of the Word of God, we skip over them and think we know what God is saying to us, and we know the story, and we move on. But we have a lot that we can learn from Noah this morning. Five principles that will help us what living by faith means. Noah lived by faith in his time, and we can as well, because he walked with God faithfully. Last week we had seen that Enoch had walked with God. And what it meant to walk with God. You're not going to spend too much time on that because we had focused on that last week. But it says that Enoch walked with God and he had found favor. There's only other person that had mentioned walking with God was Enoch. And we looked at him last week, who would have been the great-grandfather of Noah, as we had seen. But he walked with God faithfully. Genesis says that the Lord found favor with him. Genesis 6:8, as the Lord looked over the earth and he saw the inclination of man's heart that was wicked, there was one man that had given him favor. And that word favor means pleasing. As the Lord looked down on the earth in Noah's day, there was one man that pleased him, and that was Noah. Why? Because he lived by faith. And it was his faith that pleased God. And we've seen that the scripture tells us in Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. One of the ways that you can live for the Lord today is continuing to walk with him in our day. And walking with the Lord means living, as we've seen, in tune with his word, in alignment and agreement with him. We've talked about that last week. But that's how God favors you. And his smile and his favor and blessing is upon us. That favor that comes not earned by what we do, but by our faith that we demonstrate in our life and consistency. But he was also, his walk with God, because he was blameless before God. If you go back to chapter 6, verse 9, as the Lord was describing the situation on earth when he said that all man's hearts were evil all the time, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, then it goes on to say Noah was a righteous man, blameless among all the people of his time, and he walked with God, verse 9 tells us. He was blameless, not because, didn't mean that Noah never did anything wrong, but because of his faith in the Lord looked at him as a righteous man. It's the same with you and I, that when we put our faith and trust in Christ, we all know that every one of us, myself included, this may surprise you, but myself included, sin. We all struggle with sin, don't we? Gary just went, wow, really? Yeah, we all do. But when we put our faith and trust in the Lord, he looks at you and I as blameless in his sight. Isn't that beautiful? And in his day, of all the people, it was only Noah that had put his faith in the Lord. And the Lord looked down, he saw a man who was blameless because Noah had walked in faith. He had trusted him. And when Christ covers you and I with the blood, he makes us holy and blameless in his sight. And that's a blessing. And so walk with God. Continue to walk with God. It's in our time and every day. We think it's bad, but Noah lived in a day when man's hearts were increasingly wicked. Walking with him faithfully. We also demonstrate faith in times like these because we can learn from Noah, because he took God's word to heart. He took his word to heart, and he will see that he actually believed what God said. Because he believed it. Notice what it says in verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about things yet not yet seen, and when faith is what? Believing in things we have not yet seen. When warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, what did he do? He built an ark. You say, well, what's the big deal? Well, that's his faith. Meaning that he believed God. God came to him one day, and we read it in Genesis, that God came to him and said, I am going to send a flood. I am sorry that I made man, and I'm going to destroy mankind with water, and I'm going to send a flood. And I want you, Noah, to build a boat. And I'm going to tell you how to do it. He gave him the dimensions, and I want you to build a boat and save yourself by faith, by believing in me, and I will save you from the flood. Now, put yourself in Noah's day. Here you are, God speaking to you and telling you, I want you to build a boat for me, and I'm going to destroy the earth by flood. Now, it had never, ever rained before. The Bible tells us that prior to that time, God had never sent rain on the earth. The earth was watered by springs that came up underneath, and it was believed that there was like a terrarium kind of atmosphere that kind of kept the earth kind of tropical, like living in a greenhouse all the time. And it never rained. If God come to you and ask you to do something for him like that, where it had never rained before, and say, I want you to build a boat in the middle of dry ground, not anywhere near a body of water, and believe me that I'm going to send a flood. How would you respond to that? You think it took great faith for him to build an ark? It did. He heard the word, and he took it to heart. And it's a lesson for us, because how many times do we hear God's word? We come on a Sunday morning, or we open up his word and we read and he speaks to us. And he may give us a word, we may hear what he says, but then we don't really take it to heart, because taking it to heart means we not only believe it, but it means we act on it. And see, Noah acted on it. He built the boat, it says, by holy fear, when he was warned of things he hasn't yet seen, he built an ark. He acted on it. So I ask you this morning, God's word to you this morning, and when he speaks to you, do you act on what he says? Do you take it to heart? James tells us that faith means not only hearing the word, but what? Doing it as well, acting on it, believing. We haven't really believed the word of God until we've acted on it and put it in practice in our life. And that's what faith does. And that's a practical way we learn from Noah, that he acted on the word of God. Lesson for all of us. Are you acting on what he tells us? Trusting him and believing in things not yet seen. He built an ark where there was no water. He acted on it. Now imagine, here's a little cartoon I come across. And imagine if you were Noah trying to explain to your wife that I have to build a boat and a flood's coming. And trying to communicate that to his wife, and someone put that in a form of a cartoon. And he says, "Dear, I have something to tell you that may not be easy to accept. God just told me that we need a very large boat." And at first, Noah's wife thought that he was just trying to tell her he wanted to buy a big boat. But trying to say, "Honey, I have something to tell you. God has spoken to me, and I need to do this for him." Which takes us to an application in our life, because sometimes when God speaks to us or gives us a direction, even those within our family sometimes may think we're crazy. You know, and they may say, and we try to explain what God's leading us to do, and some people don't believe that or accept that. But yet, Noah believed and he acted on it anyway. He took God's word to heart. He walked by faith, but he took his word to heart and acted on it. God calls us to do the same as we live by faith in our times as well. Third principle we learned from him is that he obeyed the Lord at all cost. Again, we can sit back and we can read this story. We're so far removed from the events of what happened, and we know the end result. But imagine Noah when he was living through it and obeying the Lord at all cost, because for him to do what God had asked him to do, to obey him and to build an ark, came at great personal cost to him. It cost him several ways. But it says that, if you go back to Genesis, Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. The Lord had given him specific instructions on how he wanted to build it, and the Bible says that he did all that the Lord had commanded. What we learn from that is when God speaks to us in his word, what he asks of us, we haven't obeyed him until we've done all that he's asked us to do. Partial obedience is the same as disobedience. He did all that the Lord had asked of him. Despite what it cost him personally, his building the ark came at great personal and financial cost. Think of this. God said to Noah, "I want you to build me a boat. And I want you to supply it. And to take whatever you need and supply that for the animals. And not only is it going to be you and your family, but you've got to bring two of all the animals on this ark with you. And so take all the supplies that you're going to need to keep your family alive and all the animals alive for the midst of this flood." That was God's instruction. If that came to you, how would you respond? So God gave him the instruction, told him how to build it. But Genesis ends the story there as far as that part of it. Genesis does not record for us, so we don't know, and I'm just speculating, but we don't know if God miraculously supplied all that Noah needed to build the ark. I am speculating that Noah had to build it from his own personal expense, that he had to go out And he had to cut the wood or pay for it. He had to get the supplies to put it into the ark. That came at personal expense to him. Obeying the Lord is costly, and it costs us something. It costs Noah personally some of his finances. It cost him personally, as we're going to see later, socially. Because Noah could not, there were no corporate sponsors. And Noah couldn't go to any corporations and say, hey, I have to build this boat and I have to equip it supply for the animals. Can you sponsor me and get a corporate sponsor and we'll put on the side of the ark sponsored by so-and-so? You know, he couldn't do that. It came out of his own personal expense. And obeying the Lord is costly. It costs us something. But that's what obedience is, and that shows our faith. And often if it doesn't cost us, you know, that's where the obedience comes in. But he did all that God had commanded him, but it also says that he did everything just as the Lord commanded him in Genesis chapter 6, verse 22. Not only did he do what God commanded him, but we learn from Noah, going back to Genesis, that he did everything just as the Lord had commanded him. Suppose that he built the ark, but he didn't build it to the exact speculations that God had asked him to do and God had commanded him to do. God knew exactly why he wanted it built that way. God had it designed that way so that it would be able to float and sustain when the flood came. And if Noah would have altered the directions or cut it short, he wouldn't have been obeying God, and probably the ark may not have floated the way it was. We don't obey the Lord if we don't do everything just as he commands us to. We can say, oh, I did what the Lord wanted me to, but maybe we didn't follow his command to the T. Let me illustrate it this way. Your child or your grandchild, you ask them to do something, to maybe clean up their room or to do something, and they come back, you ask them to do it, and they say, yeah, they did it, but they didn't do exactly everything you asked them to do. Maybe they did part of it, but not all of it. Is that obedience? Or if your spouse asks you to do something for them, and then later on they ask you, did you do it, and didn't do it in the way that they wanted you to. Or if you have your employee ask you to do a job, and your employer asks you to do a job, and you come back, and your employer says, did you do it? And you said, yeah, but you felt, well, I'm not going to do it the exact way my boss wants. My boss doesn't know what he's doing. I know better. So I'm going to do it my way. If you would do that and your employer would say, did you do it? And you didn't do it the way the employer wanted, well, most likely he would fire for that. It's not obedience. It's the same with our relationship with Christ and the Lord. When he speaks to us, whatever he asks of you, he wants us to do it not only to do it, but to do it the way that he asks of us, just as he asks, because that's obedience. We learn that from Noah. He did all that the Lord had asked him, but he did the way just as the Lord had asked him. And when God speaks to you, that needs to be our response. The Lord asks you this morning, are you obeying me? Are you doing everything just as I ask you to do? Or you think you know better than I do? Sometimes we think we do, if we're all honest. But that obedience comes, partial obedience is no obedience at all. So he walked with God. He took God's word to heart. He obeyed the Lord at all cost. Fourth thing that we can learn from him that we saw as he lived by faith this day was he willingly endured personal ridicule and hardship. If this doesn't apply as well to our day, I mean, God's word is so timely. That Noah, it says again, that by faith, he warned about things not seen, he built in holy fear, built an ark to save the family. He obeyed the Lord at great personal cost, and he built an ark. And by faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that lives by faith. We'll come back to that verse. You say, but Dan, what do you mean he willingly endured personal ridicule and hardship? Well, he put up with insults and rejection. I can imagine if I was you or Noah and be in that position. 120 years God had called him, and he is working on that ark and building it. And imagine the crowd gathering by every morning to come up to see what Noah's up to now. How far is he coming along in this boat? And they probably, the whole town probably gathered together to make sport of Noah building this floating zoo in the middle of a desert where there was no rain, not raining, and people come up. I'm sure he put up with insults, rejection, and was the butt of jokes for 120 years of people coming to make sport of him, coming saying, look at Noah, he's a drip, he's all wet, rain. It never rained. There is no such thing as rain. What are you doing building a boat out here? You're crazy, Noah. And he put up with insults and he put up with rejection. The Bible says 120 years he labored at building that ark and being the butt of everyone's jokes. When people know that you love Jesus, and when they know that you're seeking to walk with him, it's not popular in our day. And people make sport of us. And they try to ridicule us and do everything else to belittle us for our faith and try to put that down. But yet faith in our time means that we willingly endure personal ridicule. Because if they did it to Jesus, the scripture says, thank the Lord that we bear his name. And faith means that we're willing to put up with that hardship. We're willing to put up with the ridicule. Not that it's pleasant. I'm sure Noah didn't enjoy people coming out every day and mocking him for building the ark and thinking he was crazy and wondering what he was doing. But he endured it. Listen to what the scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you bear or receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, it is commendable for God, before God. And to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And in the same book, 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, Peter writes, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as something strange was happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, be blessed. You are blessed, for the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. And if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. But however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. And see, Noah willingly endured the ridicule. He willingly endured the harassment. He willingly endured being the sport of, being made sport of for 120 years as he built the ark because he knew he was living by faith. His focus was not on this world. His focus was on things not yet seen. And his focus was on a flood that was coming, which he knew was real, even though he couldn't see it because God had said it and that was enough. And he believed God's word, even though he could not yet see it. And that's where faith comes in. And when people ridicule you and I for our faith, we have something that they cannot see. And we have a home in heaven waiting for us. We have a Savior who gave himself for us on the cross, who loves us and is waiting for us on the other side. And that makes it all worth it, right? And we can endure, and we can press on. He put up with insults and rejection, just as Jesus himself on the cross, when Jesus hung on the cross, and they hurled their insults at him. And what did he do? He looked down from the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. He also labored to complete the ark, and for 100 years of toil and effort, he worked. tirelessly every day for 120 years until the ark was complete. And think of that, 120 years, that's more than our lifetimes. And that was how long he remained faithful in toil and labor for the Lord each and every day consistently until it was finished, until the time was complete. And he endured with that hardship, and he endured the personal, and he endured through the personal trials of the flood. And when the flood came, and imagine all of that. And at first, I'm sure he was happy to be in the ark when the rain came. But imagine living in the ark for over a year, taking care of the animals and all that they had to do. It was well over a year till they got out. You and I get cabin fever when we're in our house for a couple days. Imagine being stuck inside a boat for over a year. And then having to clean up after the animals and tend to them. And after a while, may have gotten old. But he continually and faithfully carried on in the midst of the hardship of the flood, because his faith enabled him to endure. And whatever trials and adversities come our way, it's our faith that gives us ability to carry on in the midst of that. Because we have something that those who don't know the Lord cannot see. Something far greater, and a hope and an assurance that is down deep in us. That faith and assurance, that assurance of things not yet seen. He endured ridicule willingly and hardship. And the fifth thing we can see from his life, that we can apply to our life today, that he was faithful in living for faith in his day, was that he was faithful in sharing the truth of the gospel. Verse 7, back in Hebrews 11, tells us that by faith he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And that was how he walked with God. It was his righteousness that came by faith. That was why he was made blameless. But he was faithful in sharing the truth and the message of the gospel for 120 years. You say, but Dan, how did he do that? Well, he shared the reality of God's coming judgment. I imagine as Noah was building that ark and the crowd gathered around him to see what was going on as he was building that boat, and they began to make sport of him, he warned them. And he said, there's a flood coming. I'm doing this because there's a flood coming. And the ark itself being built was a witness of the coming reality of the flood that was about to happen. And Noah warned them, and he told them the judgment is coming. But people continued to make sport. They continued to believe, to not believe the message, and they continued to disregard it. And God, in his grace and his mercy, delays judgment because he wants people to have an opportunity to be saved. And today, when people hear the news that there's judgment, that there's a day of reckoning coming, there's a day when the Lord is going to return and get everything straight. There's a day that we're going to stand before him at the judgment. And those who don't know him are going to hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you. And there is a judgment day coming. But do people want to hear that today? No. We tell them and they belittle us, or they try to shut us down, just as they did to Noah. And they try to say, it won't happen. And they try to ignore it. And they try to say, the silence, the message, just as they tried to silence Noah. So people try to silence the truth of the gospel today, don't they? But does that mean that we don't still share it? Noah still shared it. He was still faithful. And we still need to be faithful in sharing the message, because Noah had a burden. He had a heart for those that were there. And he wanted them to be saved. And God is willing that he wants all people to be saved. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. And he has a burden as well. And he's delaying his coming, so that your loved ones that you know and I know can have a chance to come into the ark of safety before that final day. Because after preaching for 120 years, finally the time came. And listen what the scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 3. If you turn with me, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning verse 3, says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. And they will say, where is this coming he promised? Where is this judgment? Where is this flood? It's not going to happen. For ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has been since the creation, beginning of creation. For they deliberately forgot that by long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. And by that same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for a day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends, with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The word of God says that people in Noah's day, they were warned and they just ignored it. They didn't want to believe. Until the day came, it was too late, and God shut the door. But the ark itself being built was a testimony and witness, as every day as they saw the ark getting bigger and bigger and more closer to completion, should have been a testimony and a witness to them that when that ark is complete, God's judgment is coming. And their time was getting shorter. And it was a witness to the judgment day. And also, if that wasn't a convincing, the animals themselves coming into the ark, the Bible tells us that God brought the animals to Noah and brought them into the ark. If you imagine standing there that day and you were witnessing this and you were alive at the time and you saw all of a sudden saw all these animals coming two by two by themselves into the ark, wouldn't that make you think, hey, maybe Noah has something here. Maybe what he's telling me is true. Maybe I better listen. There's signs there. And God has given us his signs and has given signs to the unbelieving world. And we've had discussion, Kim and I have had discussion, and others have as well, that we think what's going on in our country and our world today are not signs that the Lord's trying to get our attention. He's trying to get attention to an unbelieving world. Hey, there is a judgment day coming. This is a time of salvation is now. And the Lord is pointing and giving those signs, but people still continue to reject, and they still continue not to listen. But God calls us to continue to be faithful to the message, right? Even if people don't listen to us, we still need to share. And Noah gave that opportunity until the day was closed, until God himself shut the door. And then it says in Genesis that the Lord shut the door at that right time, the day of judgment, the day of grace was passed. The time of judgment had fallen. The rain began to fall. And imagine that when people saw the rain fall, the door locked, and they're climbing up and pounding on the ark's doors, the floodwaters began to rise. At that point, don't you think they would have said, I wished I would have listened and believed. But it was too late. And there's going to be loved ones that we know that right now in this time of grace, that when God shuts that door, it's going to be too late for them. And all that waits is a judgment day. So we need to be faithful, and I pray that the Lord would give us a burden for those that we know that don't know Jesus. Because someday the door of the ark will be closed. And the waters rose and got deeper, and they perished. And they were lost, and judgment came, just as God said he would send. Noah believed it, and he acted on it, and he was saved. But those who did not perished. Reminds me of another illustration from the last century, before I bring it into our time. Of Noah, God had given him his instruction. Noah acted by faith, and he built the boat. He built the ark according to God's instructions, and he was saved and survived that flood. But man built a boat. Man built the greatest boat of their time. They called it the Great Titanic. And the best boat of all of its time, of its day, on its maiden voyage, loaded with people coming to America, some immigrants, some of the wealthiest of their day. The great designer and builder Ismay said God himself cannot even sink this ship. But on their maiden voyage, as you know, they were warned and they received several warnings because Ismay wanted to make headlines. And he wanted to get into New York a day earlier than what they said they would, because he wanted to show what this great ship could do. But they received warnings that there were several icebergs in the area. And time after time, they got warnings. And what did they do? They disregarded it. They said, oh, it's not going to happen. Nothing's going to happen to this boat. This is the great Titanic. Nothing can sink this ship. And they heard the warnings and they disregarded them. Till that disastrous night when they plugged into the iceberg, hit it a couple hours later, it sunk. And all those people perished and were lost at sea. 1,500 people. They heard the warnings, but they didn't listen. Bringing that into our day, how many times have you heard down in the coast, George, when hurricanes come and they're warning about hurricanes and people are having their hurricane parties and they're celebrating, they say, oh, it's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. And people get the warnings today and they ignore them and say, nothing's going to hurt me. The reality of the coming of God's judgment, and we need to be faithful in sharing that message and acting on it. And Noah was also faithful in sharing the assurance of God's offer of salvation. Because I imagine as Noah was building that boat, it says he, by faith, he condemned the world. He preached, he spoke of a coming flood. He spoke of coming judgment. And by faith, he was faithful in that. And I imagine as he was building the ark, he says, get into the ark now before it's too late. And the door was open and all those who would have believed could have been saved, but it was only Noah's family. But Jesus, the ark represents Jesus, who is our way of salvation, the ark of safety. And all who come to him by faith, and today that offer of salvation is there for all of us, because there is a judgment day coming. God says, I don't want you to face that. I don't want you to have an eternity away from me in hell, but I want you to spend eternity with me in heaven. And he gives that opportunity to all who believe. For Jesus is that ark of safety. He is the way of salvation. And all who enter the door by him are saved. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And I am the door. And anyone who enters through me will be saved. Just as the ark had one way in, one door. There's only one way to Jesus, to salvation. That's through Jesus, the ark of safety, the ark of salvation. And by faith entering in through him, the cross, we are saved the coming judgment. Praise God, right? And the offer still stands. It's still available to all. You say, but Dan, I already know that. That's why I'm here. And that's good. We praise God that we're saved, that we're in that ark of safety. And we can come together on Sunday morning, we can rejoice and we're in that ark of safety. And we know that when the floods come, we know when the time of judgment comes, we're going to be saved from that. And we praise God. Yes, we sang earlier, saved by the blood. Yes, but what about your loved ones? What about your friends? What about your family that don't know Jesus, that still are outside the ark? That if God would say, I'm shutting the door today, they would be lost for eternity. What about them? Shouldn't we have a burden for them? Shouldn't we be concerned for them? God is. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should have come to repentance. And so Jesus is that door. In the ark down in Kentucky, and they have the big door you go in, and they have the cross inside it. And they have a picture. You can stand there inside the door with the cross, that you've been entered by the door of the cross and you're saved in the inside. And there's a picture of Kim and me with that. But who do you know that is on the other side of that door that still needs to come in? God is delaying his coming right now. And we want the Lord to return and we long for his day. But the reason why Jesus isn't coming right now is because he wants to give more time for people and unsaved loved ones to come into the ark. And the ark, the door is still wide open. But someday that door will be closed and the time of opportunity will pass. And then it will be too late. Faithful, living by faith in our day is being faithful in sharing that message and that hope of the truth of the gospel with those who still need to know. Walking with Christ in our day, living by faith, obeying him fully, taking his word to heart, enduring the persecution, enduring the ridicule, enduring it for the cause of Jesus. And sharing the hope, reason for the hope that we have. Because by faith, and things not yet seen, we know and have acted on it and know that there's something far greater ahead of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and for the example of Noah. Now he was a man of great faith, and the challenges in his day, Lord, that he lived in a time where no one else other than him followed you. And Lord, yet he was faithful, and he took your word to heart, and he believed you, and he acted on it, and he lived by it, and his life was a witness of the coming of the reality of judgment. Lord, we don't like to hear that, and people in our day don't like to hear about a coming judgment. They try to silence it or say it's not going to happen and make fun of it or silence it. And Lord, there's a lot of people in our day that's not politically correct, but Lord, it's biblically correct. And Lord, that's who what you've called us to be, is to stand on your biblical truth. And Lord, we pray for those that don't know you and our family and our loved ones, Lord, that are outside the door of the ark, that should you close that door now in the time of opportunity and grace of salvation past today, they would be perishing. And Lord, we burden us with that. Lord, that we could share that message either through the way we live, through just sharing that hope or the reason of the hope that we have in you. Being willing to put up with the ridicule that they may say to us, because, Lord, our focus is on the far greater than what they cannot see. And Lord, help us to obey you, not partly, but fully, doing all that you ask of us, just in the way that you require. And Lord, walking with you faithfully every day in integrity before you, our Savior. So, Lord, may we apply and live out your word, that we may live by faith in these times, just as Noah lived by faith in his. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Noah believed God in the past. He obeyed God in the present. And he trusted God in the future.